Hello there, I'm Dr. Curtis Finch, Superintendent of Deer Valley Unified School District. Welcome to a brand new episode of the award-winning Soup Scoop Podcast. In our previous podcast, we talked about the important elements of the bond, which is on the ballot this November 5th. Today, we'll talk about the important elements of the MNO override, which is also on the ballot. While the bond mostly focuses on physical items, such as new or upgraded school buildings, new school buses, or carpeting and HVAC operations, the override is mostly focused on intangible items. This includes the value of a full-day kindergarten education, gifted education opportunities for our top learners, and extracurricular activities such as sports and the arts. We've had the MNO override since 1991, and the continuation of the override would allow DVUSD to continue to grow and offer opportunities for our students to grow in the classroom and on the stage or the playing field. The override helps fund free full-day kindergarten to all residents living in the DVUSD boundaries. That full-day experience helps our youngest learners start their educational journey on the right foot, and it helps their parents who don't need to pick up their child during lunchtime. Don't take it from me, take it from Shanna Weibel, a kindergarten teacher at Inspiration Mountain School. Mrs. Weibel is more than a kindergarten teacher. She was the Deer Valley Education Foundation Kindergarten Teacher of the Year for the 2022-2023 school year.
Hi everybody, I'm Shanna Weibel. I'm a kindergarten teacher at Inspiration Mountain. I've been in the district for 10 years and teaching for 14. 12 of those have been with said little people. And I'm at the new Inspiration Mountain School. I've been here for 4 years.
So you were here for the opening from the very beginning, huh?
Three years.
That's exciting. How do you like your new spot?
I love it. It's a great place to work. It's a great place. One of my kids goes here, and the other one will be here soon.
Oh, that's nice. So they can get lunch money from mom. They need it.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot this. Come back and grab it.
As you know, in our bond and our override, we service students from K-12. The override in particular, part of that element of the override is all-day kindergarten. And you might be the expert to talk about what are the pluses of an all-day kindergarten experience versus part-time. Because usually, our history had, I think since 2016, we were only half-time. And then the voters put that in at one of the override renewals. And so how important is all day versus half day?
Very important. A lot of the districts around us are full day kindergarten, and we need to be able to compete with that from an academic standpoint, from a child, the whole child, making sure they have those kindergarten experiences when they come to Deer Valley. We have most of our kindergartners are full day. In my 10 years in the district, I've only had one or two that opt for a half-day kindergarten experience because they do miss quite a bit. From an academic standpoint, there are state standards that need to be met, and they just can't be met in half a day. So you lose out on a lot of the academic experiences, and when they move on to first grade then has to make that up. From a fun standpoint, we do all the things here. I just found out, have 43% open enrollment here at Inspiration for Kindergarten. And I think a big part of that is because we do a lot of fun stuff. We do chicks. We do applesauce. I'm sure you can smell my room. Smells fabulous right now. It smells lovely.
You're
like fall. We're doing applesauce today. We've learned about apples and how they grow and all the science behind it. We've been able to incorporate math, and we've read about apples. But today we're taking some time to make those kindergarten memories special for these kids. And I think that is equally as important. And I think having 43% open enrollment shows that parents want those experiences for their child. And I think that's unfortunately something that doesn't get to happen if you have a half day kindergarten experience.
Did you teach in the half day 10 years ago?
I did not.
Because it was in already full day. So have you ever talked to any of your colleagues that have been here, been teaching kindergarten for 30 years, what the difference is or versus what you see maybe for the student who does come to you with a half a day, even preschool experience? How do they adjust? What are some of the negatives of it? You said they might be behind academically because of the state standards. What are things do you think are a negative of of not getting that full experience?
Well, I had the unique experience of teaching first grade as well. And I had a student that came from a different non-Deer Valley school, and they were not prepared. They didn't have that academic background that they really needed to thrive in first grade. And of course, we did everything we can to pick those kiddos up and make sure that they are getting on track. But they do come in, it's kind of a little bit wide-eyed going, oh, there's a lot more expectations, because that was not the expectation in my half-day kindergarten program. So I think it's a little bit of a shock to the kids. We also get kids transferring in fairly frequently from non-Deer Valley schools, kind of mid-year in kindergarten, from schools that do have half-day kindergarten. And once again, we're working on catching them up to make sure that they have the academic success for kindergarten and for the future, because this is where they learn all the foundational skills of reading, and those are important.
So it's not the kindergarten of yesteryear, and now that I'm assuming as the standards increase, it presses down the standards further into places like kindergarten.
Absolutely. When I went to kindergarten, I personally did half-day kindergarten back in the day, and we did a lot of blocks. We did our ABCs. The state standards have changed, and the expectation and the rigor that kindergartners go through is significantly harder. And if you are missing out on that time frame, it's hard to catch up. My kiddos are reading by the end of kindergarten now, whereas before it was, you know, we're learning our sounds and our letter names, and then you move to first grade to learn to read. And they're reading full sentences, multiple sentences. They're writing, same thing. They are adding and subtracting, not just counting. So all of those things are important to get that foundation before moving on.
Talk to me a little bit about the arrival of a kindergartner that has been maybe in a less academic environment as a preschooler, or didn't have preschool at all, and maybe the parent's a little concerned about the pace of kindergarten. What do you do in that situation? How do you work that out with a parent?
A lot of times I will work with a parent and make sure that they know, yes, your child fell asleep on the 3-minute car ride home. That's pretty normal. We do a lot here. We don't do nap time anymore. We do a lot of fun stuff, but it's all day and it's fun. They do get used to it, and they see their friends. They get a lot of playtime with their friends out at recess. We're able to do things like responsibility club. So they do get a lot more social time. So I work with parents and kind of, I invite them into my classroom. Our campus is fantastic about allowing parents to come on our campus and see what we do. And once they kind of see how things are going, and then I kind of show them where they're going as well. So not only what we're doing currently, but where first grade is heading. And then they kind of go, okay, so if I keep my kid at half day, or if I keep them home for kindergarten and jump right in first grade, once again, you're going to have that lack of academic piece that will be made up. We work hard, we make it all up, but it's just not the same as if they've had that kindergarten experience. Learning to do the foundational, like using scissors, using glue, that all takes time. You have a huge range of kindergartners that comes through, and you have kids that have never held scissors, glues, markers, anything like that, and then you have kids that are reading. And so there's a lot of differentiation that happens, and parents, once they kind of see that, you know, like I said, we invite them in, we show them what's going on, we show them where they're going, and they see the importance of making sure that their kiddo is in a place where the academic rigor is what it should be.
It sounds like then the half day benefits and negativity around it is mitigated by having an all day. It's definitely brought up our game and becomes really what used to be first grade is now kindergarten. Do you have any thoughts or any, as a former first grade teacher, how important kindergarten is for first?
Oh, absolutely. I, previous to Deer Valley, for 4 years, I worked in a totally different district, and there were several families who didn't realize that their kiddo should be in kindergarten. And I had a kiddo that came in straight to first grade with absolutely no experience. from any preschool, any kindergarten, and they were learning to cut and glue and write their name in first grade. And so while they were learning that, the rest of the class had already moved on from that. And so it took a lot more small group, a lot more pulling kids, working with parents so that they could help a lot more at home to get that kiddo where they should be.
Nice. Well, hey, thank you for your service and for your passion for the kindergarten students. Obviously, it's a major part of our academic success, that foundation. So I'm glad you're enjoying your new school. It's very pretty, very nice.
It is.
And so keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Mrs. Weibel keeps her students busy throughout the day. Some older students, though, need even more activities. Extracurricular activities such as athletics, theater, choir, dance, band, and other clubs stimulate students' minds beyond the classroom. Jeff Baumgartner knows how extracurricular activities help build character and not just wins and losses. Coach Baumgartner has been head baseball coach at Sandra Day O'Connor High School for the past 23 years, and he shares why the override is important to not only build up individual students inside and outside of the classroom, but also to keep DVUSD competitive with nearby school districts.
So my name is Jeff Baumgartner. I've been the head baseball coach here at Sandra Day O'Connor for the last 23 years. I've been a teacher in the district for 25 years. So we've developed into a top 5 or 10 program in the state of Arizona. Here as a baseball program, we're fortunate enough to be in a good pocket of the neighborhood with a couple of other schools in our district, Mountain Ridge in particular, that, you know, the quality of baseball in this corner or pocket of Arizona is pretty spectacular and really rivals with the Chandler pocket. So it's a pretty good constant battle between our two areas. And I've been a teacher here for 25 years. Like I said, my wife has been in our district now for 5 years. I have two kids. They've been in the district for about 10 years apiece. So we're a big part of this community, a big part of the Deer Valley Unified School District.
So you would know a lot about a life and a lot about working with kids at 25 years in the district. That's pretty amazing. Talk to me a little bit about what sport does to a student or a program that is an outside activity versus a math class or a PE class, whatever. What does a sport bring?
Yeah, I think it's just an extension of the academic experience. I think for kids to be able to feel connected to something with our campus, whether that be that they're in band or whether it be they play baseball or whether it be that they're in our fine arts department, in our CTE department. So I think that anytime we can get them connected with the school, then we just improve their confidence. We teach them about work ethic. We teach them how to, you know, develop their self-esteem. And it's just so huge for the mental, emotional well-being of our students to be able to have all of these different areas. Because not every kid's going to connect and be a baseball player. Not every kid's going to be a football player. Some kids are going to be into esports. Some kids are going to be into the ROTC. Some kids are going to be into band. I mean, for us to be able to have such a wide variety of opportunities for kids, I think is just huge. We cast a big net here at O'Connor High School. We got north of 2,600 kids. So for us to be able to offer hundreds of different opportunities for all different kinds of kids, I think is just huge. And this nowadays in our world we're living in, mental emotional health is a battle and a challenge for a lot of kids. So to be able to give them kind of an outlet that will help to help them blossom in their mental emotional health, I think it's just huge right now and something we shouldn't take for granted.
I noticed too, as you coach and as you teach and as you are a community member, you are also active in the kids' lives because you want them to succeed as a human, not just a baseball player. Talk a little bit about your role with kids and how important it is as a classroom teacher and a coach to not worry about the wins and losses, but focus on the kid.
Yeah, I think in my classes, it's about, man, how can I help these kids to just be productive members of society, for one. But just, I mean, kids are going through all kinds of stuff that we don't know and we probably take for granted. So to be able to get in their lives and go along with them and hopefully help them get through some tough periods, you know, the identity of a high school kid is really a challenging thing. And then on the baseball field, like, when I think about it, I don't think about wins and losses. I think about I'm developing the heads of households for years to come. And that's really where the fruit of our success will be is 20 years from now, and when our young men are now the heads of their household, developing their own kids and nurturing their own kids and the positive things they've done for our community. Like I said, I feel like we are very competitive in our neighborhood with the Chandler area of our city or of our state. So we're really competing against them academically, athletically, with everything they do. These are the two biggest corners or neighborhoods of the state of Arizona for both academics and athletics. And so to always be striving to keep up with them, both in the classroom and out on the fields. I think when you look at the classroom improvements we've had around our campus throughout the district with the last bond was huge, and just giving our kids the opportunities to compete with that side of the city. I think athletically, our weight rooms that we've developed in all five high schools, our athletic fields in all five high schools, I mean, now we are at par with or better than the rest of the state with all the facilities we have. And that's huge, and just getting the most out of our kids and getting the most for our kids. I think not taking for granted that if you want the best teachers in the state of Arizona, then that bond money really helps to not only attract, but really to keep those high level of teachers. So for me as a parent, I want the best for my two children. And I know that the best teachers I can have possible in their lives, the more healthy, the better improvements I'm going to have for my kids.
You talk a little bit about the Chandler Zone. One huge company that impacted them for the last 25 years has been Intel. Mm-hmm. And as you know, TSMC, the Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing company, TSMC, they are coming to our neighborhood. They're Intel's bigger brother. And that impact that you saw in Chandler, which happened over 25 years, is going to happen here in 10. Have you thought about how that's going to impact your zone going into the future? This whole zone will be the future center of Arizona.
Yeah, and I think that's fantastic for our kids in terms of just the boom they're going to see culturally in our area and the boom that we're going to see technologically in our area. Just the funneling of, there's going to be so many more people coming in that there's going to be just such a bigger infrastructure in our area here of town. And I think that's just going to be huge in our development for the district.
You, I just want to say thank you personally to you for the way you model what I'm looking for in a teacher, what I'm looking for in a coach. You have it prioritized on what's important, and then the results follow. Usually the reverse is what most of the world tries. Try to beat the kid into winning and losing, and you lose the kid. And I just want to say thanks for how you handle kids, how you model what proper behavior looks like, and what really what winning and losing is really about. It's about growing men or boys into men. It's not about the W's. They come when you do it correctly. So keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
The Override also helps fund special services, including counseling, school nurses, and our gifted program. There are many different programs within DBUSD Gifted Services, and each one helps our top learners continue to excel while giving the district a competitive advantage over charter and private schools. Amy Sulett is the director of DBUSD Gifted Services, and she has seen remarkable growth in our brightest minds, and that's something the district just can't lose.
Hello, my name is Dr. Amy Sulett, proud manager of Gifted Services here in Deer Valley. Gosh, I come to you with 28 years of educational experience in public education at that. I've been a reading specialist, instructional coach, gifted classroom teacher, regular classroom teacher. And now I've landed here in Deer Valley, and it's such a beautiful place for the gifted learner, gifted and all learners. I'm really fortunate to be able to be here and support our gifted and talented students.
Tell us about the range of the services that we offered. How far does it reach? All the way down to the little people, up to the big people? What's the range?
Wonderful. In Deer Valley, we have a full continuum of gifted services. Other districts might say that, but you'll find that it's piecemealed. Here in Deer Valley, not so. So we start with our youngest students, our preschool. We have a gifted pre-K academy at Las Brisas, all the way up through our high school with our gifted academies at the various high schools' gifted programs. At our elementaries, we offer content replacement in reading and math. We have Spark Enrichment in grades 1 through 6. We offer a Bright Beginnings program to provide enrichment supports for students at Canyon Springs, Las Brisas, and Highland Lakes. Those programs then often lead into our highly gifted academies, our Renaissance academies, offered at the same schools. So again, a true portfolio of services for gifted, highly gifted, enrichment, talent pool-based services for all students.
So talk to me about the, again, similar to the range. I'm assuming that our listeners won't know that we have some programs that are inclusionary, some programs that are separate, some are tracked. When you say continuum, what does it look like for the student?
Sure. So at every school, at every elementary school, we have cluster grouping services. And so that's one teacher at every grade level, K through 6, that provides services, enrichment, differentiation for our cluster and talented students. The content replacement services are those that students qualify for. So we have students that have taken cognitive abilities assessments and therefore qualified for these other programs, these advanced programs that allow students to work 1 to 2 years above grade level. And what we find is that having these programs is essential because for a lot of our gifted students, they spend time waiting. So a gifted learner can acquire information in 0 to 2 repetitions, a bright learner about 6 to 8, a general education student can be upwards of 24. So these programs take out the repetition and they ensure that our students are engaged in meaningful work, project-based learning, hands-on application, service learning, opportunities connecting with older and younger students, just a range.
Okay. How does a parent plug into this or a student plug into it? You mentioned testing. Is there kind of a process or is it identification by a teacher first? Does the parent ask first or is it kind of a combination?
It's a combination. So what we find is that our parents are often very adept to noticing when their children present some of these tendencies and they come to us. But in addition to that nomination testing that happens in fall and spring, Deer Valley does an exceptional job of offering universal testing in grades 2 provided by the state of Arizona. This year we're offering it in grade 1. And what that means is all students in that grade band, regardless of school that they go to, will have the opportunity to qualify for these programs, to take these assessments.
Do you also look at the state data as the kids go through the machine and let's say a kid starts developing exponentially at fifth grade?
Absolutely. So with our gifted and talented programs, that's that talented piece. So students that demonstrate proficiency, readiness, they absolutely plug right into our programs, especially at the high school level.
One of the, obviously this show is about the bond and the override and the impacts it has on our system. Much of our extended services, like gifted, is supported by the override. Talk about the resources that you've seen in other systems and related to our system and the pluses and minuses maybe that you see at Deer Valley and related to gifted services.
Sure. So gifted education is absolutely vital for our students. I regularly have the opportunity to collaborate and to check in with our partners in the Valley. And when I talk with those partners, it's a different story. It's not the green garden that we have in Deer Valley. In fact, there are programs that have slashed gifted or dramatically reduced gifted. So what I mean by that is maybe they would have one gifted specialist servicing 2 or 3 campuses, really extenuating the abilities of one professional, right? But in Deer Valley, we have one gifted specialist for every campus. In fact, we have some campuses that even have 2 because they have such high numbers. And so having this override, having this opportunity to provide those services has really attracted students to our district, allow us to provide better professional development to our teachers, to provide better educational experiences for our students, to just grow that potential, grow jobs here in Arizona, keep the market strong. With the TSMC plant down the road, we have a lot of students coming, and we find that a lot of those students do qualify for our gifted and talented programs, and we find a home for them, and they're just the ones that we've embraced into our programs. They're doing beautifully, just beautifully.
Thanks again for all that you do. Keep up the great work. It's obvious that you are passionate about it, and obviously it's important that we provide a range of services for our students in Deer Valley. We serve all all students, anyone that shows up on our front door. And being able to offer these services to another niche of students is a plus that only Deer Valley can do it. So congratulations. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
You can learn more about DVUSD's gifted services at dvusd.org/gifted, including when gifted testing is being held if you'd like your son or daughter tested this school year. Those are just a few of the positive impacts the M&O override will have on DVUSD if approved by voters on November 5th. For more facts about the override, visit dvusd.org/override. And do not forget to vote. You have until October 7th to register, and you can do so at dvusd.org/vote. We have a lot of great conversations here on the Soup Scoop, and you can listen to previous episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or at dvusd.org/soupscoop. I'm Dr. Curtis Finch, and you're all caught up on everything happening at DVUSD with a Soup Scoop podcast.